performance to mark their retirement. Suddenly, the dressing room of La Sorelli, one of the principal dancers, was invaded by half a dozen young ladies of the ballet, who had come up from the stage. They rushed in amid great confusion, some giving vent to forced and unnatural laughter, others to cries of terror. Sorelli looked around angrily at the maddened, tumultuous crowd. It was little Jeanne who gave the explanation in a trembling voice. "It's the ghost!" And she locked the door. Sorelli was very superstitious. She shuddered when she heard little Jeanne speak of the ghost, called her a silly little fool, and then, as she was the first to believe in ghosts in general, and the opera ghost in particular, at once asked for details. "Have you seen him?" "As plainly as I see you now," said little Jeanne. And they all began to talk together. The ghost had appeared to them in the shape of a gentleman in dress clothes who had suddenly stood before them in the passage, without their knowing where he came from. He seemed to have come through the wall. "Pooh," said one of them, "you see the ghost everywhere." An agonizing silence now reigned. At last, Jeanne, flinging herself upon the farthest corner of the wall, with every mark of real terror on her face, whispered, "Listen." Everybody seemed to hear a rustling outside the door. There was no sound of footsteps. It was like light silk sliding over the panel. Then it stopped. Sorelli tried to show more pluck than the others. She went up to the door and in a quavering voice asked, "Who's there?" But nobody answered. Then, feeling all eyes upon her, she made an effort to show courage and said very loudly, "Is there anyone behind the door?" "Oh, yes, yes, of course there is," cried Meg Giry, holding Sorelli back by her gauze skirt. "Whatever you do, don't open the door." But Sorelli, armed with a dagger that never left her, turned the key and drew back the door. Sorelli looked into the passage bravely. It was empty. A gas flame cast a red and suspicious light into the surrounding darkness. The dancer slammed the door again with a deep sigh. "No," she said, "there is no one there." "Still, we saw him," Jeanne declared, returning with timid little steps to her place beside Sorelli. "He must be somewhere prowling about. I shan't go back to dress. We had better all go down to the foyer together at once for the speech, and we'll come up again." "Come, children, pull yourselves together. I dare say no one has ever seen the ghost," said Sorelli. "Yes, yes, we saw him. We saw him just now," cried the girls. "He had this death's head and his dress coat, just as when he appeared to Joseph Bouquet, the chief scene shifter." A silence followed while Sorelli polished her nails in great excitement. It was broken by little Giry, who said, "Joseph Bouquet would do better to hold his tongue." "Why should he hold his tongue?" asked somebody. "That's Mother's opinion," replied Meg, lowering her voice and looking all about her as though fearing lest other ears than those present might overhear. "And why is it your mother's opinion?" "Hush! Mother says the ghost doesn't like being talked about." "And why does your mother say so?"
Because...
"Nothing. I swore not to tell," gasped Meg. But they left her no peace and promised to keep the secret until Meg, burning to say all she knew, began, with her eyes fixed on the door.
"Well, it's because of the private box."
"What private box?"
"The ghost's box."
"Has the ghost a box? Oh, do tell us, do tell us."
"Not so loud," said Meg. "It's box 5.
You know, the box on the grand tier, next to the stage box on the left."
"Oh, nonsense! I tell you he is. Mother has charge of it. But you swear you won't say a word?"
"Of course, of course."
"Well, that's the ghost's box. No one has had it for over a month except the ghost, and orders have been given at the box office that it must never be sold."
"And does the ghost really come there?"
"Yes."
"Then somebody does come." "Why, no, the ghost comes, but there is nobody there."
The little ballet girls exchanged glances. If the ghost came to the box, he must be seen because he wore a dress coat and a death's head. This is what they tried to make Meg understand, but she replied, "That's just it."